fighting for America.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Iranians, when they sat down, said, look, we want you to know that we're going to work towards a treaty. If we get there, though, it's got to go to our equivalent of a parliament, and they've got to approve it. You mean to tell me that Iran, they've got a more representative government than America?
Fighting for you.
They're like, hey, this is a great location. I would love to be here, but there's this eminent domain thing hanging over our head. It's a tough call.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Don't forget to give us a follow. Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, at Kevin Miller Show. And you can see the tweets between myself and Rachel Sutherland of Fox News Radio. Very stimulating stuff. By the way, I do want to once again thank our great friends at CapEd Credit Union. They love the teachers. We love the teachers for believing in our program. We are getting ready to go back to the schools starting Monday. We will be at Bishop Kelly High School. We'll be doing that throughout the spring. Do you want to thank Ray Amaya and Dave Burnett for their work behind the scenes and our great friends at Chick-fil-A. A big event this year when we're doing our school program. We're focusing in this year on, you know, post-high school prep. You know, what program specifically are these folks learning in public and private schools, and maybe even some homeschools this time around, where we focus in on what these folks are learning and the skills that they acquire in high school if they go on to tech school or the military or college or what have you. So I'm very excited about that and excited to see our friends at Bishop Kelly coming up on Monday. Let's go to our friend in faith, Nagmeet Abedini, once again joins us. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, it's been a busy week. You're always busy, whether speaking with us or, you know, speaking around the world. I know one thing, you probably would like to be retired from the speaking circuit, and you hope and you pray and you want others to make sure that that happens with the return of your husband, Pastor Saeed.
I do. I'm not a speaker. I've been thrown in different arenas. I do it because of my faith and for Saeed. So, but it's been stretching me and getting me out of my comfort zone, but I do it for, I've been doing it for the last 2.5 years, and I hope this is the last year.
Well, you know, people around the Treasure Valley, around the state and around the world are praying that that happens. You know, a lot of folks were perhaps concerned about Netanyahu coming to town and speaking. From your perspective, from the perspective of your husband, Pastor Saeed, and wanting to get him home and working to make that happen, what did you think of Benjamin Netanyahu coming to town and, you know, making his case about Iran?
Well, this is probably the hardest. It's very hard for me because I agree with what he says and his fears. But at the same time, I don't know what that means for my husband. I'm just hoping, I know God has a solution. God is bigger. And my prayers are with him and his people and the Jewish people. And we don't want, I saw his heart when he said not never again, that his people have always been under attack. So my heart goes out and I've always prayed for him and the Jewish people, but I don't know. It seems like a complicated problem to solve, but I know that God can solve it. I don't know what that means for my husband if no deal is made. But at the same time, I don't know. I agree with what he had to say as well. I hope there's a good deal that's made that, for the sake of the world, not just my husband, that there's a deal that, is made that benefits everyone. And, Netanyahu said, and my husband is released also, so everyone wins.
You know, I was watching a special, that Anthony Boudreau guy who travels the world, the food guy. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
Okay, and I don't know if you saw it. He went to Iran, and he was talking to folks, and, you know, it was interesting because he's talking to these two journalists, and you know, a week after they leave and they're, you know, he's smacking Saudi Arabia and others. And, well, you know, the Saudis, they don't have the freedom that they have in Tehran and Iran and all. And then these two people just disappear. And he casually mentions that, well, the husband's been gone for 6 weeks, but the wife has been released. And that's just life in Iran. And when you speak about your husband and his good works and what he's done, it's got to be a culture shock, not only to us in Idaho, but people around the world that this happens quite frequently.
It does. As you mentioned, we see it on the show, a food show, where he speaks with a couple people, and they just very, I mean, what they mention is not even anything negative about the government. They just give their opinion that they, you know, and just a very respectful opinion, and they're gone. They're arrested. They're in prison. And this is something normal in Iran. You don't know when you're next, and you're always living under the fear of what you would say or do, that you would be, you would end up in prison. And that's so much so different than what we have here. There's no freedom of religion. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of thought. It's a different world. It's a different world. And Saeed here, Saeed working with the Iranian government on an orphanage, and he's arrested. And it's something that was not expected.
And Nagmeh, for people that may be hearing you for the first time at 580KIDO, he didn't do this on his own. He was in communication with these folks. He had received their permission, their blessing to do this.
He was actually encouraged by them to do this. He was working with the Iranian government. With their encouragement, he started this orphanage. It was the government. He was working closely with the government on this orphanage, the government of Iran, and it was a secular. There was Muslim kids that were to be in that orphanage, and all of a sudden, completely unexpected, it disappears, and we didn't know where he was for about a week, and then we realized he was put in prison about a week into it. He left in June of 2012, and we expected him back in July, and never expected that this would happen to him.
For the average folks in Iran, what's their life like? It's just business as usual that you have the religious, the mullahs running the show.
It is. It's very oppressive. It's something that living in the United States, you would never imagine. You can't express your thoughts. You can't express what you believe. You can't believe differently than their radical version of Islam or the way they interpret it. So a lot of you're arrested based on what you believe, on what you think. If you say anything negative about the government, if you say, I'm not happy, you're put in prison. There's this, it's completely, it's more of a dictatorship. It's completely... People live under fear and control, and it's economically, the people are, generations are living with each other within the same house. They're under a lot of pressure, it's just a very hard country to live in. But most of the people don't agree with the government. What people need to realize is the Iranian people love America. The Iranian people don't want to fight with Israel. They don't want to attack Israel. This is 10% of the hardliners that want to do this. And a lot of Iranian people are open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to know about other religions and other beliefs, and they're pursuing other things. They've been disillusioned by Islam. They're tired of religion. They're tired of what they've seen, and they're looking for, they're young, they're in their 30s and younger. 70% of Iran is 30s and younger, and they're looking for other alternatives to Islam. But unfortunately, the few percent, the hardliners, control everything.
It's almost as if they're reliving the real-life gospel today, where you have a government like the Romans who used to persecute the Christians.
Exactly. The Christians, many disappear. They're killed. Iran, you know, talks negative about ISIS, but they're doing the same thing with the Iranian people. They're a lot of them, Christians are disappearing. They're killed. They're imprisoned. They're given long imprisonment services. Churches are being shut down. There's no freedom of religion. And as you mentioned, it's the people are pursuing God, but they're being paying a price for it. There is a plan to there's a Holocaust happening for the Christians in the Middle East right now, where every country, it seems like, is trying to destroy them and get rid of them.
Well, And how does this play into your beloved husband, Pastor Saeed, where you have the ISIS people? We've heard that the ISIS people are in the Iranian prisons. His life has been threatened. He's been tortured. And, you know, Nagmeh, through the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, most of us will just use those terms as words. But you know it as some, you know, as actions against your husband, and your husband is actually feeling those what those words actually are. I mean, torture is just a word to us, but he's actually being tortured.
He is, and it's really a miracle he is alive with the hands of these hardliners that want him dead, and they've put ISIS in his prison. They've put Al-Qaeda. They've threatened. There's been fellow prisoners that have tried to take his life. And so it's even a miracle he's been alive the last 2.5 years. But I know, I remember, I haven't been able to watch the video, but I know someone told me that with the 21 martyrs that ISIS killed, one of the things they yelled out was, "Jesus, you're all we have. Jesus, you're all we have." And, you know, for Christians, there is a time where you're in prison and you're tortured and you're beaten, but you do have Jesus. And I know that from the time of the first martyr, Stephen, when they were stoning him and his face is just glowing and he's forgiving his enemies and says, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I think there's a time where you're under so much pressure for Jesus and for the gospel, and God just steps in and scoops you up or cradles you. And I know with the martyrs that were killed in the hands of ISIS, and with the martyrs over the years, over the last 2,000 years, and those who are in prison, they do have Jesus. They have a relationship. They don't need to have, they might not have a Bible, they might not have a church, but they have that one relationship that they can cling to and that holds them through. And I know that's what Saeed has.
Nagmeh, please stand by. More coming up with Nagmeh Abedini, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580KIDO. Time for traffic.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580KIDO. Nagmeh Abedini with us. Nagmeh, let's talk about your faith and your belief that your husband will be returned. It is easier said than done, but you're an example to all of us each and every day.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate all of your support. I don't think I could have continued this last 2.5 years without all the prayers and support, especially from people in Idaho, all the support. And you've been a great help and support, and your friendship has really meant a lot to me. You know, it's been difficult. I do hope that I do believe that he is going to come home. I don't know when. I don't have a timeline. I've asked God if this is the year, and I've hoped for that. My son's birthday is in a couple weeks, and he's hoping, since he told the president that he wants daddy home for his birthday. He has a lot of hope. It's hard as a mom to watch that and to know that it's probably not going to happen with all the negotiations happening now. But I do have hope. The hope keeps me going. But I don't know when this nightmare will end. I hope it's this year. Anytime this year would make me happy, but I don't know if it will be this year or how long it will be. But I always hope that it's soon.
Nagmeh, as a young lady of faith, a mother, a wife, a person that has been asked to go across the world to speak about her belief in support of her husband, what do you say to people right now that are battling something, whether it's illness, whether it's injury, whether it's a loss of faith?
You know, I think to push through it, what I've learned is whatever you're battling, relationship, injuries, even if you're doubting, just keep at it, allow it to draw you close to God, to really get the hard questions of who is God and getting to know God and pursuing him. Allow it to do that in your life. And once you're able to get to that source and you realize the reality of Jesus and then it really does, you find yourself in a place of much hope, much peace, and much joy, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter the illness, no matter the relationships that are falling apart, or whatever it is, finances. And you just, when you discover that intimacy with God through Jesus Christ, then really nothing in the world, no bad news or nothing can shake you. You can be walking on water and there's storms around you and you will be okay. You can have peace and joy. And that's what I've discovered, that, every single day God's grace has been sufficient for me. He's been able to give me the strength to get up despite the nightmare me and my kids are in, our family's in. But I've been allowing things. And if you allow suffering in your life to draw you closer to God, then you discover something that's amazing, true joy and peace. And that's what I would tell everyone. And ultimately, that's what our life is about, to discover this bigger, I guess, discover God and really live life the way we're supposed to live it, full of life and full of meaning.
Nagmayan, when you look at the evil that we're up against, and again, most of us, when we see the ISIS people, whether we're scared, concerned, you have a special sensitivity to it because of where your husband's at. I mean, we have to count on our faith to overcome them when they call us out and do what they're doing.
It does. I think once you have, and we're seeing, we shouldn't think that we're here in the United States and we're so separated from persecution. I do believe that it's coming. But I think those like ISIS, when you're faced with that, you either walk away and or you just what those 21 Christians did, you just cling to God and he helps you through the tortures and the beatings and the beheadings. And that's what I discovered in this trial when Saeed was taken and my whole world was turned upside down. I could either get mad at God and walk away and just crumble to pieces, or I could hold on to God and just cling to him and find the strength to be a single mom and to be there for my kids and to fight for my husband. I've traveled. I just came back from D.C. and got to speak in front of, a very political arena, CPAC. But God gives me the strength to even stand up and speak where at my strongest point 3 years ago, I would have never done that.
Well, what was it like? I mean, CPAC is a very political animal event. What was that like? I mean, it's the Star Wars bar scene times 25.
It was, I got up there and I thought, what am I doing here? And I was hearing all the speeches. But I thought, here's a different group of people that I can share about Saeed and have them, do something and get more information, get maybe some of them have not heard about Saeed's situation and they have connections and people they can reach out to and at the same time, share about my faith. But it was very hard. It was probably the hardest thing I did. And as soon as I got up there, I just was thinking, what am I doing? But I just pushed through it, and I talked about Saeed, I talked about my faith, and I just had to get over how it went. But it was definitely something that I got to meet different people, like Jeb Bush, and just got to just be in that environment and allow God to use me even there with different people that might have never heard about Saeed and and our faith.
How are your children doing?
They are okay. They're hopeful. This is the hard part for me. My son's really hopeful. He wrote a birthday invitation for his dad. And he was writing some invitations and he wrote one for him and he said, Mommy, can you make sure this gets to him? And it's hard for me because they're really hopeful that he will be home in a few weeks and things don't look that way. And it's just hard to see them disappointed again. But it's hard because the birthdays are the big things. They think, Mom, you know, it's been three birthdays, now going on fourth birthdays. My daughter will be nine. And if he's not home by September, last time she would have celebrated would have been when she was five. And those are the hardest time for them when they feel like they're growing up without him and they count another year. And as a mom, I just have to be there for them and hold them and hear their cries and just walk them through it. And it's really hard for me. Those milestones are really hard for me it's very painful for them.
Nagmeet, finally, the president speaking with you when he was in town, any more fallout from that?
I had a good meeting after the meeting with President with the religious freedom ambassador. But really, I just had the feel after the president and last week, especially in D.C., that really everything's trying to be silenced. You know, we had pictures of the president. They don't want us sharing them because everything's just trying to be silenced until they get that deal. And if it means silencing any talks about Saeed or any media and trying to silence anything negative, and that it was just I've had to realize that the president met with me, but he was, I guess, and I saw sincerity, but I think part of it was to appease a lot of the Christians and a lot of people that were saying, why aren't you doing anything? But at the same time, still they're moving forward with a deal and not securing Saeed's release. The deal's more important to them, and that's heartbreaking for me. I just have to trust God and just take it day at a time.
Let's pray that there'll be a surprise and Saeed will be returned when they do that deal.
Yes, that's what I'm praying.
Nagmeet, thank you, and God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Nagmeet Abedini with us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
New Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You can always follow us on Twitter at Kevin Miller Show. We're joined now by Jared Halpern of Fox News Radio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin.
I was a little worried about you.
Why is that?
I heard your report yesterday outside the Supreme Court and a lot of emotional people.
And that's not uncommon. Posted a video to the Fox News Radio Facebook page. You could get a sense for how close the competing sides were to one another. I think it's a great thing. I mean, I've been out there a number of times, so that goes on, and I can't think of a time where, you know, it has escalated to any more than just shouting. I will say that once you get inside the Supreme Court, you hear absolutely none of it. So I don't know if it sways any of the justices, so to speak, but it certainly makes for a good scene outside the court.
Boy, it's just, like I said, it was really, and I'm watching the video right now. Can you describe what happened yesterday? Again, we heard the preview of this, but it got, I guess they all get contentious with these cases, right?
They do, and certainly outside you saw that. Inside, it's a much more, academic feel, and the justices are definitely trying to figure out what to make of this latest challenge to the health care law, which deals with how the provision that deals with subsidies is written. And it really comes down to just a few words as to what Congress meant when it outlined who gets subsidies and who doesn't, and the way that at least challengers of the law argue is that the provision makes very clear that only customers of a state-run health exchange would be eligible for taxpayer subsidies and not the millions of people in the 34 states that rely on healthcare.gov. Now, the administration, the government's argument is that this is being taken out of context. You have to look at this provision in really large measure. You have to take a broad view of the entire law, and when it mentions exchanges throughout the law, it's talking about both state-run and federally-run exchanges. So that's one of the issues that the Supreme Court's looking at. Now, there was a larger sort of constitutional question that was raised by Justice Kennedy, and he spent, as well as Justice Roberts, a little bit of time on it, and that's the idea that let's say that the challengers of this law are correct, that this provision only allows taxpayer subsidies for plans that are purchased through a state exchange and not the upwards of 8 million people who bought through healthcare.gov. What that means then is that states are going to basically have a bunch of people who had health care, affordable health care, and no longer do because their subsidies can no longer be received by them unless that state then sets up its own exchange. That brought up the question of, is that such a great demand to make of states, either set up your own exchange or your people don't get any subsidies, that it breaches into that line of unconstitutionality. You'll recall that during the first round of health care debates at the Supreme Court, the justices dropped the Medicaid provision, that states were required to expand Medicaid, and the justices, the Supreme Court, ruled that that was too much of an ask of states. It was unconstitutional to force states to do that. Well, that argument was brought up then yesterday when the question was, okay, so if this provision deals only with people in state-run exchanges, are you then in sort of this, you know, you either get subsidies or don't by setting up your own exchange, are you then putting states in a position where they are basically forced to set up their own exchange? And is that unconstitutional then? So it sets up sort of a two-tiered analysis for the justices. On the one hand, what does this provision say? And if the provision says what challengers of the law say that it does it then reach an unconstitutional level?
I like the reference of your quote from Kennedy, that he talks about the dynamics of federalism. And then And then, as you mentioned, Jared,
the government's argument is that federalism is the current system, because what states are allowed to do now is either create their own exchange or not. They can either set one up or they can, you know, use the federal government's. The government's argument is that the federalism system is best utilized by the current reading of current interpretation of this provision. Give everybody the subsidies, and states can allow, and states can decide for themselves whether or not they would like to set up their own exchange.
You know, God bless you for translating that. I mean, I'm listening to you, reading these statements, and, you know, I'm trying to think of the ham and eggs of it all is that if this goes down, you know, where do we go from here?
And that still remains unanswered. And that was certainly a concern for particularly the liberal justices. Justice Ginsburg warned of disastrous consequences if this provision falls, because you already have millions of Americans who are getting these subsidized plans. You had Justice Sotomayor, who worried that this is going to set up the same insurance debt spiral that the system was created to prevent from happening. On the other hand, you had folks like Justice Alito who said, listen, there is precedent for the Supreme Court to issue a ruling and then stay that for a given period of time. In other words, create a grace period or transitional period while Congress or the states figure out what they want to do. And after arguments, I spoke with Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, who was in arguments himself, and he sort of said, listen, if this thing goes down, Republicans have a plan in place, or at least a plan that could be put in place that would work similar to how COBRA works, which is I think it's 18 months of insurance if you lose your job. It's basically a temporary Band-Aid, and that they could create something like that. So if you are a cancer patient getting chemotherapy, you aren't going to have to worry about losing your coverage overnight, that Congress could put in place sort of a Band-Aid where the current system, the current interpretation remains the law for X number of months, and that would allow two things to happen. One, it would allow states to reconsider whether or not they wanted to set up their own exchange, or two, it would give time for Republicans in Congress to vote on and implement their alternative. Now, that's a big ask, because you have to get it through Congress and you have to get the president to sign it, but it certainly would allow some time for that debate to move forward. And one would think if 8 million people were in danger of losing their plans, that would be motivation for both Republicans and Democrats to at least have a conversation with one another.
Jared, I'm glad we have you to explain this all, because without you, we'd be lost. I appreciate it, sir.
Sure thing.
Thank you, Jared Halpern, joining us, Fox News Radio. Time for traffic now.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's go to the phones. Ronnie from Caldwell joins us now at 580 KIDO.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I like that bumper music. That was Shock the Monkey. That's one of my favorite songs from way back.
Is there a purpose for this call, except you're going to relive days when perhaps you had more hair, more drive, more ambition, some type of dream? No, it's funny. You and Liberal Steve are probably tied for the people that I get the most comments about. People, you know, they ask, hey, where's that corny guy in Caldwell? I mean, Ronnie? And they go, yeah, the corny guy. And I go, well, he's still around. And so here you are.
Dude, what do you mean corny, man? I'm anything but corny.
People think that you're corny.
No, dude. As a matter of fact, I'm the opposite of corny, dude. I don't want to sound like conceit. What's that word again?
Constipated?
No, dude. That's when you can't go to the bathroom.
Good to know.
Conceited. That's it.
Constipated.
I don't want to sound conceited, but dude, I'm probably one of the coolest people you've ever met.
Well, we've never met.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean.
You supposedly say you're going to come on and you get the people all fired up, and you've never shown a lot. In fact, a lot of people think that I'm throwing my voice when I'm talking to you. I get that a lot, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not really a figment of my imagination, are you? I'm not doing your voice. You are a real person.
Of course I am, dude. You might not be able to throw your voice, but don't throw your weight around on me. You know what I mean?
Oh, what's next? You're going to call me fatty?
No, dude, you're like my friend, so I'm not going to do that. But
you call all your friends fatty?
Oh man, I have dated a couple fatties, but they just, you know, they're just nicer. But I wanted to say something. I got to give an official complaint. Sometimes when you do the temperature in Caldwell, you're off by like a degree or two, and I've just noticed that.
Well, you know, I love to take direction.
And it's not a big deal, but here's why I really called. You know, sometimes I ask you for advice and you get to help me sometimes because.
Well, yeah, you credit me with getting you off the drugs.
I know, dude. You've changed my life in magical ways, just so you know.
Well, as long as they're heterosexual, go ahead.
I know. But check this out, dude. Me and my buddy were talking. His nickname is DTTB. But we were talking about maybe converting to Islam.
Really?
Uh-huh. What do you think of it?
Why?
Are you
a religious person now? Are you a Christian? Are you a...
I don't know. I think I am. I mean, I think so. But here's why, dude, and you tell me what you think of this, because I do honor your opinion, but it doesn't mean I'm going to do what you say. We were downtown in Boise, right, over the weekend, and I swear, I think we saw the hottest chick we've ever seen, ever. Like, she's a 10 and a half, dude, but she's wearing a burqa. You know?
And what does this have to do with your faith?
Well, here's what we're thinking, dude. If we convert over, we can do that whole thing called Sherry Law. And the Sherry Law says that your women have to stay covered up, and then they have to serve you like a king, and they have to do the things you say because it's Sherry Law.
I can see you've done a lot of research in this.
I know. I have.
Did you? So you're going to give up whatever faith you have to chase a person in a burqa?
No, it's not exactly that. It's more like, because I've lost a lot of girls, you know that. I've lost some of the loves of my life, and it's because I can't.
You've lost women to other women.
I know. Dude, don't bring that up. That took me like a year to get over, dude.
I remember when that happened, and then you were arrested for stalking, but no charges came of that. Video stalking, nonetheless.
Oh, boy. Let's just leave that one out of it. What I'm asking you, dude, is, do you think, for the benefits of this Sherry Law, that I could switch over to Islam? It's not that hard, too. There's a mosque in Boise. We've already researched it.
I think you have to do what your heart and your faith tells you to do.
Uh-huh. As I said, it's easy, dude. You read this book, starts with a K, I think, and you read this thing for a while, and then you pledge in, and then you can get as many chicks as you want, and they have to stay covered up. And the cool thing about that, Millie, is if they're covered up, then no other dudes can see how hot they are, and I won't lose my next chick.
Well, thank you very much.
I know.
Good luck.
Over now. 10-4, I guess.
All right, time for traffic now. Good morning, Dave. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Fox News is next. Keep it here. Stay informed. KIDO.